It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And as you probably just heard me mention, the most of the birds that are hanging out at my bird feeder are the same crowd that have been there all winter, including the five or six juncos that are living under my deck and the white-throated sparrow, whom I saw last night. I came in about 5 o'clock. I was surprised at how late it was, given how light it was. And I thought, well, geez, I got to get up early and go to the radio station. I better throw some seeds out. I don't usually throw them out at night because the deer come and clean up the stuff. And so I thought, well, I better put some seeds out. And I put a little pile of millet on one of the stumps that I use as a feeder platform. And almost immediately, the white-throated sparrow came out there and sat right on top of the pile, which I found pretty interesting, and ate the seeds that were sort of out on the edge of the pile. But this bird sat right on the pile as though to cover it and keep other birds from maybe seeing it or getting after it. But he sat there until it got pretty dark, and he was filling his crop with lots of millet seeds. So I hope that he had a nice warm night. Also, this past week, temperatures in the minus 40. I think the coldest official I saw was minus 46 from Dallas Hudson over in the Akeley area, off of a transponder that's out on Williams Lake. And then I did see a photograph of a thermometer from Bedora. And it was at close to minus 50, but suffice it to say that it was cold. And as Joel Rosen noted in his report, it was not the coldest ever, but darn near certainly fit right in there. As he mentioned, minus 40 on the 31st, also minus 40 on the 31st in 96. But in 96, it was just the start of a string of five consecutive days with temperatures minus 40 or colder. And that, you may recall, was the, Groundhog's Day that year set an all-time state record low of 60 degrees below zero in Tower and Embarrass, Minnesota. The previous all-time record low was 59 degrees, which was held in a couple of spots around the state, including right here in Grand Rapids, where the Pekegama Dam is. And so it has been that cold before, and it will probably get that cold again. And all of that suggests that a lot of bugs, a lot of emerald ash borers and gypsy moths and a lot of that crowd probably died as a result of that cold temperature, but not all of them. And that, of course, is the problem. Those that survived have a built-in genetic resistance to temperatures of minus 40. And that means that their offspring may inherit that as well. And it may be that we have just made those that are still living that much tougher to kill. So we'll find out. As I mentioned, Groundhog's Day came and went. The groundhog obviously did not see his shadow here, nor did he see it in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania. The whole idea behind the groundhog seeing his shadow is ridiculous because groundhogs are true hibernators and this time of year are nowhere near the surface of the ground, and Punxsutawney Phil would only come out of his den if he were grabbed and pulled from the den, and that's in fact what they do. But here in northern Minnesota, our groundhogs are at least a month and a half, probably 2 months away from appearing. So don't be surprised about the continuance of winter here. One of the things that happens in February that I have reliable data on are the emergence of skunks. And I once wrote this little piece about skunks in February. Ah, smell the fresh air. Clear skies and gentle winds promise a warmer day tomorrow. But wait, what's that hint of skunk doing on the wind? Aren't they supposed to be sleeping? Why on earth would they be out wandering around in the snow when it is difficult for them to get around on those short legs any time of the year? Let's get one thing straight. We are far more likely to see a skunk out wandering on Groundhog's Day than we are to see a groundhog. In fact, to be totally accurate, we should inquire whether or not the striped skunk saw his shadow on February 2nd. The groundhog is a true hibernator and in early February is no closer to consciousness than most high school students during first period classes. Skunks are not true hibernators. Given their rather Catholic tastes when it comes to food, they can find a meal at any time of the year. Spring, summer, or fall, it might be plants, insects, fruits, grubs, amphibians, or whatever they might come across. In the winter, it is more apt to be small mammals, frozen fruits, plant matter, or garbage left out by humans. With such a wide diet, skunks may roust themselves from their naps to forage at any time. In February and early March, however, the skunks have more than food on their minds. The males begin to wander about in search of females. Males are solitary by nature, while the females tend to be a bit more sociable. Often, females will gather into small groups for warmth throughout the winter. The males are searching for these groups and, once found, will attempt to mate with all the females that are receptive. They will remain in close contact with the females to protect their harem. Once the mating is finished, they all go their separate ways. Females may tolerate other females and their offspring sharing a home range. Males, on the other hand, will be driven from the area. The young are called kits, and a litter may run from 2 to 10, with the average somewhere near the middle. They are born blind and naked in early May, about 2 months after conception. For the next 6 weeks, they will remain in the den and nurse. Near the middle of June, they will begin to follow their mother on nightly forays as they learn what to eat. Often, these young will remain with their mother through the next winter, dispersing in the spring. Don't be fooled by these little fellows. I once found one trapped between the rails of a train track. The skunk was too small to climb the rail to escape, so I picked it up to move it away. I was convinced it was too small to spray. After all, it was a mere handful, smaller than a red squirrel. Let's just say I left the encounter a wiser, though less aromatic man. Their ability to produce the mercaptan that is sprayed from the two ducts located on either side of the anus comes just weeks after birth. Pardon me. So, just a little bit of a review about skunks. They are active, and I expect that some one of them among us will be smelling a skunk within the next week. I would bet that by next Tuesday, I will have had at least one report of somebody smelling a skunk in spite of the deep snow. So that's what February has to bring, that and the mating among the wolves, coyotes, and dogs, and fox. So if you're seeing evidence of that, please, by all means, get in touch with us. We'd like to hear what's happening in your neighborhood. That's the Phenology Show for this week. Stay tuned.